appreciate the prayer from Brother Yeager, and I believe, I don't remember who was in the prayer this morning, but prayed for me. And you know, I went back to the 20-something, 30-something, I don't know what to call it, but I went back to that classroom this morning, and I saw my name, well, I saw the name Blake on the board, and I don't know if I was just hoping it was my name or what, but I assumed it was me, and you know, I thought, that's pretty special, they're talking about me, that's great. Then I looked above and said, prayer list, and I thought, well, I wonder what they're praying about, but maybe they're praying that I go ahead and leave and get out of here. No, but y'all have been really good to me. I appreciate everything y'all do for me, having me over in your homes, taking me out to eat, praying for me. It's so special, and I appreciate that. You know, this past week was a great week. It was encouraging. It was really refreshing. It was draining. I'm not going to lie about it. It took a lot out of a lot of us, but it was great. And I remember when I was younger having VBS where I grew up in Oak Mountain in Birmingham, and you know, I didn't appreciate it. I didn't realize how much time and effort went into doing a week of VBS. And I'm not sure if they did it the way y'all do, because y'all go all out. And I just wanted to say that I was impressed. That was great. The teachers, the kids, it's already been said that y'all did a great job. And you know, the high school class is supposed to be one of the small, well, high school slash middle school, supposed to be one of the smaller classes. But, I mean, I think we had about an average of 20 in there. So that was great. I mean, it was really encouraging, and I just really appreciate that. Since we just got done talking about Christ turning our lives upside down, kind of spinning off of the Australian theme, I want to talk about another way Christ can turn our lives upside down. We talked about going from selfish to selfless. We talked about going from defiant to devoted and things like that. But tonight I want to talk about going from hostility to harmony. And I can't take any credit for that, the way that looks. I think that looks really cool. I got that from a website. I want to talk about going from hostility to harmony. I want to talk about three things we need to be in harmony with. First, I think it's important for us to define the terms. Hostility is strong opposition, intense aggression or anger, and anger towards somebody. It's enmity. It's being divided. It's being against each other. Harmony, on the other hand, is a pleasing combination of sounds, and we experienced that tonight with the singing. But it's more than that. It's more than just harmony and singing. It's a friendly situation where there's accord and agreement. So it's just bliss. It's just nice. I just think of something, hostility, just anger, and harmony. Everything's happy. Everything's good. First thing in our notes is, from hostility to harmony, we need to be in harmony with God. We need to be in harmony with God. Now, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, well, I've never been hostile towards God. I've never hated God. I've never been angry towards Him necessarily. I want to tell you that if we turn to James chapter 4, we see that we have been in that situation. James chapter 4, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Have you ever loved the world a little too much? We've all been there. We've all been there where we have been living in the world. We've been of the world. If you've been in that situation, which I'm assuming that all of us have been in that situation, you have been against God. You've been in hostility, enmity with God. We don't need to be like that. We need to be in harmony with God. In John chapter 15, verse 14, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. How does that sound, to be a friend of God? I like to be considered a friend of God. I hope you would too. Well, to do that, we have to be in harmony with God. We can't be in alliance with the world, and we have to do what God says we need to do. So we need to be a friend of God. We need to be more like God also. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You know, I think really, really popular passage when I was growing up was Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It goes back to the enmity. When we are friend of the world, we're at odds with God. We need to be more like God. We need to imitate Him. We need to stop thinking about all the things that the world wants us to do. Stop being like the world. We need to be more like God. We need to be transformed. That sounds like turning it upside down to me. You know, in John chapter 17, verse 14, Jesus is praying to God right before he is about to go through this horrible pain of dying on the cross for not his sins, not anything he's done, but for us. He prays that he would have the strength to go through what he needs to go through and glorify God. He also prays that we would glorify God and that his disciples would glorify God. One thing he says in John 17, 14 is he says that the world would hate his disciples. Why would it hate his disciples? Well, because the world hated him. And the world wanted to cast him out, and he was passing on his word to his disciples. He said the world's going to hate his disciples, but he prayed for his disciples that they would have strength, that they would make it through. Not that they would be taken out of the world, but they would be in the world, and they would have the strength to stick together. That was Jesus' prayer. It's going to be hard. It's not easy to be transformed and not be conformed to the world. But if we're going to be in harmony with God, that's what we need to do. Our second point tonight, we need to have harmony in the home. Now, you might know this. I don't know a whole lot about being married, and I don't know anything about being a parent. But I know that Ephesians 5, and I have faith that in Ephesians 5, we can read exactly what God desires the home to look like. I want to read Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Pick back up in verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Wives, you need to respect your husbands. That's what we read in verses 22 and down in verse 33. Wives need to respect and need to submit to their husbands. Husbands, I'm sorry, but you have to love your wife. I'm your husband. That's not that hard of a thing to do, is it? Husbands, love your wife. Love your wife like you love yourself. Now, if you don't love yourself, it says that no man just hates himself. You need to love your wife, just as Christ loved the church. Parents, as hard as it might be sometimes, you need to bring your kids up in love. I don't know how hard that is. All I've been is a kid, so all I've been is the other end of that, where it was hard to bring your kids up in love. Just bring them up in a training and admonition of the Lord. And does the Lord love his children? Yes, he does. So parents, you need to love your kids. Bring them up. That does not mean that you don't punish them. That does not mean you don't teach them right and wrong. You do what is best for them in the eyes of the Lord. And children, you need to hold your parents in high regard and honor them. I think a lot of the high school kids are gone tonight, but I hope that whoever is here in the high school class would remember this. You just need to do it. Just do it. Honor them. Respect your parents. That's what God wants you to do. This is how God wants the family. This is how God wants the home. You know, I think if we did things exactly the way God would have us to do them, I don't believe there would be divorce. I don't believe that there would be problems of abuse in the home. I don't believe that children would be rebellious and go off and kind of go crazy sometimes. But why does that stuff happen? Because we don't do what God says we need to do. Let's stick to the Word. That's being harmony in the home. That's not being hostility with one another, fighting all the time. We need to do things the way God would have us to do. Our third point is have harmony in the church. I want to stick in Ephesians and go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. And harmony in the church. Ephesians 4, beginning of verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, it's hard enough for us to get along as a family sometimes. So does God really want us to be together as a bunch of families and a big group of people? Yes, He does. He wants to be unified. He wants us to be in harmony with one another. I remember the first business meeting I ever went to at all. By the way, you need to be thankful that you have elders. That's another thing to be thankful for when you pray to God. Be thankful you have elders, because it's not as easy when you just have business meetings with about 20, 30 men. They're sitting there all with different ideas, all with different things that they want to see done. First business meeting I went to, I think we spent an hour and a half talking about the foyer. Well, what about the foyer? Was it something going on? No, we just need to change the wallpaper. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. I was going to this thing trying to say, hey, I'm a college student, but I'm going to try to be involved here. I'm going to try to get other college students to go to business meeting so we can get involved and be active in the group here. But if we're going to talk an hour and a half about wallpaper, I don't know if I'm going to be that involved with this kind of thing. It's just ridiculous sometimes, doesn't it? Why can't we just be together? Well, it's because sometimes we don't have the right attitude. Sometimes we forget that this is God's church. This is His church. This is not ours. This is not for us to think, how do I want things done? This is God's church. What's going to glorify Him? What's going to be best in His sight? That's what you notice there at the end of that paragraph. It's His church. I want to make that point clear. You know, I think that this group is really together on a lot of things. I think y'all did a really good job. Y'all seem to have love for one another. You seem to be really close, but we can always do a better job. And we need to keep up with that and think, okay, can we do better with this? What are some other ways we can be together and be unified? In Ephesians 4, the first thing I see when he talks about unity is that they need to love one another. They need to be together in their attitude, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He doesn't jump right in and start talking about doctrine and start talking about truth and start talking about scriptures being together. First, an attitude. I'm not saying that doctrine and being together, that is not important. That obviously is important. But first, let's have an attitude and a heart of just desiring to be with one another, desiring to be in harmony out of love. We can see that in verses 2 and 3. And then, as we see, there's one body, one Spirit, all that. We need to follow the Word together. There is one baptism. There is one God. We need to be unified, and we need to be together on that. And then if we skip down to verse 16, all the while there, from verses 7 through 16, he's talking about the things that he wants in his church. In verse 11, he says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then down to verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, work according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We need to work together. We don't just need to be together in attitude and loving one another. We don't just need to make sure we're doing what's right and everything. We need to work together. Come together to make sure we are doing things God would have us to do. It says that that causes growth of the body. What causes growth? Every part does it share. If we're not together on that, is there going to be growth? There might be a little growth. But if we're together, instead of what God desires, then it will be growth. Like I said, I think this group does a really good job. But I just want to point out that we can do better. I think there are times where it is appropriate for maybe were disagreeing on some things, and so, okay, we just need to go somewhere else. Okay, that is appropriate sometimes. But if we don't first have the attitude of loving one another, we'll have 1,000 different churches with 2 members apiece. And we need to be careful about that. Sometimes it gets a little scary when I start thinking about that. But if we work on these 3 things and we are in harmony in the church the way God would have us to be, maybe there will be 1,000-member church one day. If we could all just get along, we could all just love one another and follow the Word together. 2 Corinthians 5:17 was our main verse for the VBS. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. You will become new if you're in Christ. He abolishes the sin that separates you from God. If you're in Christ, you will work on your homes. You will strive to have a loving family, just as God desires. And you will work hard, we will all work hard at being together as a group of God's people. That's just what God desires. He wants His people to be one in complete harmony. As I said, I just want to kind of say this past week is great, and let's keep it up. There's so much more work to do. There's so much more things that we can keep working at. It's not time for us to sit back and think, okay, let's just take a little step back. That was enough for a little while. Let's take about a month off. We got the singing coming up. That'll be a big deal. We'll work hard when that comes. No, let's keep at it. Let's keep going. Let's keep the fire lit. Let's keep it burning. You know, there's always other areas of our life we can turn around individually. We talked about 5 this past week, and here's 1 tonight. We need to turn our lives upside down. There's a lot of other areas that we can improve on as individuals. And you know what? The whole purpose is to let others see that Christ is in us and what Christ can do for them. I want to point out that the key to me in this verse is if anyone is in Christ. There's a condition there. This isn't just going to happen to anyone who says, okay, I really want to be made new, so I'm new. No, you have to be in Christ. And according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they're baptized in the name of Christ. And in Romans 6, verse 3, he speaks that if you're baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Christ. If you want to be made new, you have to be baptized. You're not in harmony with God if you have not done that. So tonight, are you in harmony with God? Are we in harmony with one another? Let's work on it. Let's strive to get better. I think that God is waiting for us to turn our lives around. I think He's just waiting for us. All we have to do is turn to Him and start drawing closer to Him. You can be in harmony with Him tonight if you wish by coming forward and by being baptized. And I know this lesson was pretty short. You're welcome. That was the intent of it. I just wanted to make one more point that we need to go from hostility to harmony with God and harmony with one another. Let's work on our homes. Let's not leave this building tonight and be in opposition with God. Let's not be in opposition with one another. If you have a problem with your brother, we need to fix that. If you've sinned, you need to make that right. Let's help. We can help you fix that tonight.